Reading today is 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 1 to 10. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become a capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what we were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wondrous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is a word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Gracious God, once we were not a people, but now we are your people. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have. You're not silent, you're not hidden. You meet us in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You meet us in your Word. Please speak to us this morning. Amen. Well, I hope you found it gladdening to see the inside of our church building on the video I sent out this week. First time in many weeks, for me as well as for you. It's also going to be the last time for a while. As you'll have seen in the notice sheet, the work on the LED lighting and surgery will begin on Monday and last for a good few weeks. And so until that's finished, we won't be able to go back in. When we do, the surgery will be there, which will be wonderful. We'll have our new LED lighting. But it does mean that whatever announcements might be made by the government or the Church of England, whatever the neighbouring parishes might be doing, we won't be able to meet in our church building again for at least another few weeks. And this virus also means that when we are able to get back inside, things won't be back to normal or even the new normal for a while yet. Prayer in church, Sunday worship, daily life at church will be affected by safety concerns for a while after we're allowed back in. I hope that you have all experienced in the meantime that church does not rely on a building. In whichever ways that you're able to, we won't be getting rid of our digital worship, Zoom, Sunday send-outs until such point as we can all get back inside the building. My hope is that for this season, however long it lasts, as we are away from our building and in many ways are away from one another, it will be a time for refining our sense of what it means to be church together. It's a question that we can continually ask ourselves. What are we here for? Why do we do this? If we're there primarily to love our neighbours, if we're there primarily just to worship together, to enjoy fellowship, these are true and good and part of any healthy Christian life. But those things are not the same as the fundamental mission and identity of the church. The mission of the church is that we're a people who are sent into the world to proclaim the gospel and make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 28 puts it really clearly. Jesus, just before he goes up to heaven in the ascension, he says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you." On the Atlantic coast of County Kerry, at the wild western tip of the known world when it was built, you'll find an ancient church building that they say was made by St. Brendan. Every stone in the Brendan Oratory is unique. It's not made from bricks. It is made from individual, unique, chosen stones meticulously fitted together. These stones are so tightly fitted that when you run your hand along its walls, it is entirely smooth and seamless. And I love that image of a church, that church building on the ancient Irish coast, as a picture of what church could and should be, of different unique stones being fitted together into something beautiful. You know, we live in a culture that tells us, be free of other people and their expectations, be free of responsibility to others in order to be yourself. And the gospel tells us that we only find out who we are within the joy and the responsibility of Christian community. Each one of us has been deliberately chosen, just as those stones were, to be part of his church. Because, yes, we are sent to make disciples, but we do that as part of a special kind of community. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Living stones, what a wonderful, glowing, organic image that is. So that's the picture language we're working with today. We're a building. And to understand a bit of what Peter means here, we need to go back to the time he was first writing. When Christianity first arrived in the world, the Romans and the Greeks and the various cultures around with their multiple gods found it really hard to understand what kind of religion Christians were. So they called them atheists. This is because in every single religion that they knew was centered on a temple, and in the temple would be priests who made sacrifices. In each city of the ancient world, you'd have various temples to various gods. There'd be a steady train of animals coming in for slaughter, and a class of priests who were trained in performing the rituals that kept the gods on side. And Christians come along, and you can imagine their peers asking them, where's your temple? We don't meet God in a temple. Where's your priests? Well, we're all priests. None of us are specially priests in that kind of sense. Where's your sacrifices? Well, we're the sacrifices. Where's your building? We meet in houses, we meet in meeting rooms, wherever we can find. And the reason that the first Christians and every Christian since have done that is because the power and the presence of God does not reside in a building, but it resides in us when we are church together. And in that sense, church is not something we do primarily, but something we are. In verse 9, Peter writes, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. It's the most wonderful charge, isn't it? To be God's special possession. Now, of all the things in this world that God loves, of all the things in the universe, of the fathomless seas, of the billions of stars, the wild and wonderful planets in the cosmos, we are his special possession, and we are called to be his special possession, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. What a wonderful charge. We're called to do that together, to declare God's goodness to the whole world. That is what church exists for, and that's all of our job. Each of us has a unique shape, a unique experiences, a unique way of seeing the world. We're a diverse crowd, and that's something to celebrate, and it's something I want us to grow in this next season of church life. I want us, as we spread out, to use, grow, encourage, engage our gifts. But we're not centered around gifts and diversity for their own sake, as if they were an end in themselves. We're centered on Christ. Look with me at verse 6. It describes Jesus as the precious cornerstone, the centerpiece, the foundation block. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. He is a rope that can take all of our weight. He is the one who is safe to build our life on. We need to realize as we read this just how all or nothing these verses are about Jesus. Jesus is the one who gently insists that he is the way, the truth, and the life. One of the things about Jesus that people find hardest is that he won't be content to be simply a part of your life, to be a part of the furniture, as it were. He demands to be Lord of it, or else he'll be nothing. He'll be the Lord of your life, or he'll be your ruin, it says there. It's really clear there in verse 7 and 8. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. We come to Christ, and he refuses quite simply to be a monument or a dead principle or a vague ideal. He will be for us, and has to be for us, the life-giving stone at the very center. You can place Jesus at the top, or you can throw him on a scrap heap, but there is no third choice. As we begin to think together then about what it means to be his church, might God use this season to impress on our hearts that we are his special possession, we're his royal priesthood, we're his holy nation. Might we get rid of our small ambitions and pray bold prayers. Long to see the people of the nations who are scattered on our streets, the people who live on the same roads around here, the people who live on your street, wherever you live, wherever you're listening to this, they might come to hear the wonderful good news of Jesus. They might turn to him and become a part of this chosen people. And we do that because we are the ones who know and remember how good God is. We're the ones who have tasted that the Lord is good. We're the ones who are chosen, cherished, loved beyond anything our imaginations could handle. We're his beautiful bride. We're his heart's desire. That's the pure spiritual milk that we grow on. That's how we change. That's how we become church. That's how we begin to be the church that God sees us as. And so my hope and my prayer for this season and for each of us is that we might know Christ closely, not just as individuals, but as his precious building, as the living stones, built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. And so might God speak to us in this season and show us more than ever what it means to be his church. Amen.